This week, we're going to be celebrating what is known as Thanksgiving. And as I began to think about Thanksgiving, I thought about our forefathers of our nation. And I thought about the faith that our forefathers had. In fact, it's amazing to me that when I just think for a moment of my own life, I'm 45 years old. I remember back in second grade, and part of you, most of you know my testimony, not all of you do, but my speech was impeded as a kid. And though I couldn't speak well, when I was singing, it would come out clear. In second grade, though, I remember every morning them doing two things, reading the menu of the day over the intercom and praying. Those are the two things I remember. I remember the menu thing because they always said we're having all rotten potatoes. And nobody would ever touch them. As I grew up, I found out when they were saying all rotten. They still don't sound good, but anyway, but they are. And then they would pray. Well, because I couldn't pray, or I didn't speak well, I was afraid to, I asked, could I sing a song one of these mornings? And they said, sure. And I sang the old Rugged Cross as a second grader over the intercom system of the school. Guys, that was just 37 years ago. 37 years ago, it's amazing that our country still had that kind of faith in the public arena. But it's amazing to me today as how far we have come from that. We live in a day and time when powerful forces are at work in our nation trying to strip us of every reminder of the very foundation that our nation was built upon. And we as a church body need to continue to stand in the conviction that we are one nation under God. That's who we are. Thanksgiving Day is an interesting or a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or a birthday or an anniversary. It is simply a day set aside to express our nation's thanks to our nation's God. In fact, in 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation. And I'm going to have it up there for you. I'll read only a little part of it. But I want you to see how strong and absolute the acknowledgement of the fact that God was a part of our nations and our dependence was upon Him. It says this. It says, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. It goes on to say a few sentences later, now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. Is it that good? As we pause once again this week to give thanks, to have thanksgiving, I trust that you will do it in the spirit of the first proclamation. For God is the reason we are so blessed. And He is the one that we give thanks to. And this fact, this morning, I want to talk to you about living a life of blessing. But I want to pray for our nation. Lord, I thank You that we are part of a great nation. And Lord, we do humble ourselves. Lord, though we recognize the greatness that we have, it's only because of You. Lord, other nations have come and gone, And Lord, our day may as well. But Lord, I pray that you would continue to keep your hand upon our nation. I pray for our leaders, Lord, that you will strengthen them and help them to make wise decisions. Lord, that you would put godly influence around them. And Lord, even if they are not saved, I pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of you as Lord and Savior of their life. That Jesus, that you died for them. I pray, Lord, that all of those in the House of Representatives, in our Congress, Lord, our senators, God, I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, that you would watch over them. And Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, may you be adored. And God, I ask you to protect this country. And Lord, my request goes as far as to ask, Lord, would you protect us until you come again? Lord, watch over us and keep our freedom, Lord, so that we can continue to touch this nation with the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to look at the scripture that we've been attempting to memorize. Before we put it up there, can you try to quote it? It's Psalm 100, verse 4. What's the very first word? Wow! You're doing such a great job. Enter and into his courts. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Go ahead and put it up there, Psalm 100, verse 4, all together one more time. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. There's an important part of us taking the Word of God and continuing to work it into our lives and our hearts. One of the things I want you to work at, though, is not just being a hearer of the Word, but a doer. I want you to put it into action. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I am heading somewhere, folks. I am not stagnant in my walk. I have a purpose in life. And into his courts with praise. And be thankful and bless his name. I've used this as the premise for our three messages 2 weeks ago, living a life of thanksgiving. Last week, living a life of praise. And this week, living a life of blessing. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 12. I want to take you back to the story of Abraham. How many remember Abraham? Does anybody have anybody in your family named Abraham? Wow. Oh, we got one back there. Oh, another one there. It's a great name. Abraham plays such an important role in our faith because of his walk and his faith in God. In Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2 this morning, say this. The Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, may we learn from it. Lord, may we put it deep into our hearts, and Lord, and then put it to action. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I'm sure if God came to me and said, Brooks, I'm going to make your life so great, you're going to be a blessing to the whole world. I think it would be a little mind-boggling to me. I mean, I think there would be some excitement about it, but also I would have some hesitation about becoming so great a blessing. But you need to understand, in many ways, Abraham's journey to becoming that blessing is the same journey that every believer takes to become a blessing that God has desired. I want us to look at simply three steps this morning to living a life of blessing. Step one, step out in faith. Step out in faith. God tells Abraham in Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Step out in faith, Abraham. Abraham did not know where he was going. He had to step out in faith. The Lord said, I will show you. You know what? Even if you don't know where you're going, one of the things we need to do is step out in faith. That is how you began your walk with God. You believe that God sent His only one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you. You believe that He died and He rose again and that He's coming back for His church. You believe all of that by faith. That's how we believe it. We have stepped out already in faith to believe that He has saved us, that He has redeemed us. Now we are to continue every day to step out in faith and trust as we walk with Him, believing that God will use us. But stepping out in faith can be risky. It can be uncomfortable. It causes us to leave that comfort zone of life. That's why we need faith to do it. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and listen to this, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Did you know the Lord blesses those who seek Him? That He pours out a blessing over their life? But it's impossible without faith to even get to that place. I have to start by believing that He exists. Abraham's step is our step too. We must believe that God has said, follow my word. That's what Abraham did. He followed the word of the Lord. So how do we grow in this faith? Well, Romans 10, 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Did you know you cannot have a blessing or a blessed life if you're following your own agenda or your own thoughts? They're too weak. There's not enough strength in them. You must follow the message of Christ, the Word of God. That's why I believe this is so important to our lives. It is important to work it in and put it there. That's why I've given you the memory verse cards. Work them into your life. Don't just play it off as, oh, well, I think it's good for some people. I think it's good for all of us. In fact, this week I was talking with someone about prayer. And we've taught the church you ought to pray and have devotions and read your Bible. And folks, I think so many times though in our walk, we've separated those things. Well, Lord, I'm coming to you today. And Lord, thanks for the day. And Lord, I need all these things. And then we go and I read this, I did it. Or we'll take the Bible and we just read it. But folks, if you will take the Word of God and not just read through it, but meditate on it like the Bible says to, I think a lot of people take the Bible and they just blow through it because I want to read through it in a year. Like, you're going to get an award in heaven for that. When the Word of God says, meditate upon it. I think if you would take it, because all of a sudden I begin to read, for God so loved the world. Oh, God, you loved me. And all of a sudden, out of that Word comes prayer. Out of reading comes the heart, because I begin to meditate. I begin to think about it. I think prayer and Bible study and all of that is wonderful. But folks, if I had to choose one of them, I would tell you, get into His Word. And I believe everything else burst out of that. That devotion, that heart, that prayer all comes from the Word. That's why we get the Word in us. Because you get it in you, all of a sudden, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Faith begins to rise. Lord, I have nothing, but I know You and I believe in You. You exist and I earnestly seek You. And then He's faithful to His Word. And He begins to pour out a reward upon those who seek Him. Faith is always established in our lives through the Word. For us to have blessings, we must learn, though, to apply those principles in everyday life. Listen, God will make His Word alive in your heart. One thing is amazing. This is what we call the Logos, This is what is the written word. It's been penned down. It's been put into English so we can understand it. But it is the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives that turns the Logos into Rhema. It makes it alive in us. It reveals the word. I can't just read this and go, it can sound good. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs he did? Folks, when I begin to read, but I begin to understand by the Holy Spirit that these brothers were afraid of what Joseph was going to do. I just picked the scripture. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak that. That one of the things that we don't need to walk in fear. I don't need to be afraid. Especially when my hands are in the hands of God. Folks, just let the Holy Spirit begin to work it into your life. The faith we need will come from His Word. We need to read it and apply it. Listen, God will always supply the word that you need. We need to apply the faith in Him. Step one, step out in faith. Step two, make God your source. Always make God your source. Step one is great. I'm stepping out in faith. But if I'm going to take that second step, I need to make God the source. He has got to be the reason. Paul tells the church in Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, He is the source of this life, this eternity that we're looking for. Listen to what will happen. Will fill you completely with joy and peace because you what? Because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, it is amazing what God wants to do. If we recognize He is the source, that joy and that peace, and you need to understand this joy and this peace is not something that's happiness and yeah, everything's going to be all right, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, this is a deep-seated joy that you can walk into a funeral home, and whether or not the person knows Christ or doesn't know Christ, if they don't know Christ, you walk in with a joy that you have a message of hope that God can do great things, and He wants to still save and redeem those who are alive. You have a deep-seated joy that there is a message of hope. If the person knew the Lord, you have a deep-seated joy, though you weep with those that weep, and you rejoice with those that rejoice. But when you're weeping, there's a deep-seated joy that I know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Then there's that peace that passes understanding. That means I don't have to understand it. I just have this seated peace in me that it's okay. Because God gives that. It says He fills you. He fills you with that. Abraham knew that his source was God. He could not leave unless he knew that God was going to go with him. Moses said the same thing, if you remember one time. God, I'm not going unless you go with me. Oh, I'm going to step in faith. But I know that God is my source. God will fill you with the joy. He'll fill you with the peace. Why? Because we trusted Him. We have faith in Him. He's the source. He's the source of life. And God causes us to overflow. And He'll cause us to touch those around us. James writes to the church in 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know why He doesn't change? Because He is light. And wherever He goes, He moves. But He is the light and no shadows created around Him. Folks, He wants to fill you with that same light so that you can be a blessing to others. Stepping out in faith, knowing God is the source. Step three is to believe and to realize your purpose. To believe and realize your purpose. Genesis 12:2. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. There's a lot of people in life who look for quick fixes in life. They want the blessings of God, but they want God to operate in their timetable. But when you study Abraham's life, the greatness was a process. In reaching his destiny and fulfilling his purpose, it took a lifetime. It didn't happen overnight. I'm sure there were times that Abraham got discouraged. In fact, all you got to do is read about it. But he never stopped believing in his purpose. What God had promised, God will fulfill. And we need to know that God is working his purposes in our life. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." His purpose, but in and through you. He is acting that out through our lives. So what we have to believe is that God will bless us, but he blesses our lives. Why? So we can be a blessing. He's going to bless Abraham, but it's so that Abraham could be a blessing. In fact, this morning I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our baptismal candidates who are going to get themselves ready. So you can go ahead and prepare yourselves. One of the things we have to realize is that we have been saved to be a blessing to others. This is probably one of the lessons that so many people miss. You see, God is going to bless Abraham. God is going to make him great. And he would do this, but for a sole purpose of what? Blessing others mainly. Now see, theologically, we can talk about Jesus Christ, who is the one who came and blessed the world with salvation. The message that we have been given of this salvation is to share with others. To what? Bless others with that message. Why? Because we want people to experience the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. I want people to be blessed. Practically, Abraham was a blessing to his family. In fact, he was a blessing everywhere he went and to everybody he met. And we are to do the same. You see, we have been saved by God not just to live a life of thanksgiving. I love giving thanks to the Lord. We've been saved not just to live a life of praise to him. But we have been saved to live a life of blessing both to God and to others. You see, the truest test of being blessed is not how much you have received in life, but what? How much you've given. How much you pour out of your life. You have so much to bless others, but you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, I don't want you to walk out of here and just be going, you know, I want you led by the Holy Spirit. See, Abraham was led. He just didn't go car block out there. Just this past week, there was a need came into the building. And Pastor Matt encountered the benevolent need that came in. That maybe it was last week. But anyway, they came into the office. And we have a protocol and a sheet for them to fill out. And Pastor Matt came to me. And in that moment, normally, I followed the protocol many times, but at that moment, I just felt, let's just deal with it. So I just pull out my own money and just deal with it. I just felt that prompting. That doesn't mean I do that every time, but it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. That was what we needed to do that day. So folks, I need you to walk to bless others, but with the leading of the Holy Spirit, not on your own. Church, I want you to realize some of my greatest heroes are the missionaries that have given their lives for the call of God. They've left the comfort zone, and they minister in some hard places, some of them. But they know their purpose. They have gone out to be a blessing to the world. But it's not just them, church. Do you realize when you joined with us last Friday night at the Northfield Lighted Parade, we became a blessing to that community? That's what we do. We step out and become a blessing. When we go down to our iThrive program in the Detroit Public School, when we step in there, we become a blessing to them. That's right. Those kids, the other day I was hugging a kid, and I'm like, how many hugs have you gotten today? And he's like, I got a bunch today. But I've hugged them other times, and they said, this is the first. See, we are there to be a blessing. When we go down and we feed the homeless down at the Pilgrim's Church, we are becoming a blessing, not just to a ministry, but to people. It blesses the ministry, but it blesses people. Why? Because that's what the Lord wants to do through our lives. Church, I have been blessed. You know, when we fellowship with each other, do you know that's also a blessing? See, you don't know who has or what people are going through. Sometimes the smile, the handshake, the hug, the encouraging word, the compliment, whatever it may be. That's one of the ways we live our blessings out. But I want us not to only do that here, we practice here. Do you understand that? This is not the fulfillment of doing that. This is the practicing of that. When we come to church, it's always about practicing godliness. This is where we learn it, we grow in it. But I want you to take it out to the world where you live and be a blessing to those around you. When you walk in, who knows who needs a hug that day or a handshake or a compliment, that you would just live to be a blessing to them. That's what we've been called to. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How do I bless his name? By living for him, by representing him. In fact, you are his ambassador of blessing, as though you are reconciling men to God. You are the conduit of blessing. Today I realize, though, I am blessed with a great church family. In fact, the Lord has blessed my wife and I with three different congregations that we've been associated with. And I'll be honest with you, it takes a while to kind of fall in love. And a couple of years ago, I made the statement, I really, not that I didn't love you at the beginning, I'm trying to make sure that statement's honest. But you fall in love. And the Lord has blessed us. We have a great church body. We have a great facility that the Lord has blessed us with, and we're using it for his glory. In church, we have a great missions program that's reaching at home and abroad. When I look at the numbers from last year, and we gave over $120,000 in missions, went out of this place. Folks, that blesses me. Why? Because I know it blesses the Lord. Because we plant seed. Today, I want to say to God be the glory. I want to give God the glory. I want my life to be a blessing. I want God to do something great in and through us. I want us to live a life of thanksgiving. Every day you get up, this morning I got up, I as I got out and I was heading here, and you know how foggy it was this morning? My first thought was, God, boy, I wish I could see the sky and thank you for this day. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that the cloud around me wouldn't exist without him. That he was in the cloud. In fact, I thought, God, is this Shekinah? Is this it? Are you around me? You see, and I began to be thankful. And say, Lord, thank you for being here. Enter his gates with praise. Live a life of praise. I want others to see what God has done in you. And live a life of blessing. Step out in faith. Know your source. And know your purpose. Step out in faith. Know your source. Fulfill your purpose. Step out in faith. Know your source. Fulfill your purpose. And just keep walking that way. Keep being a blessing. Live a life of blessing.